The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Motu raro mai kia on the rag. Hei kone ipurangi mō ngā mana wahine. Citizens of the nation, welcome to On the Rag, a podcast for and about the mana of women. Ko Alex Casey aho, joined as always by Leonie Hayden.
Kia ora.
Michelle Court.
Hello.
And we did have Gloria Steinem on the phone just before. You just missed her.
Oh, she's just hung up.
You just missed her. Such a tragedy. But we can't actually put it out until November. So
it feels really sad to not be able to share it with everybody yet, but it will be worth waiting for.
Yeah, we had a chat about half an hour. We're all best friends now.
Yeah,
we're best friends.
So yeah. I'm sure she'll be back. Coming back over to New Zealand.
What are you getting
her
for Christmas?
Oh, well, I mean, what do you get the woman who has everything?
Might give her a little broken piece of patriarchy.
Yeah.
This is a podcast about women stuff brought to you by the Women's Bookshop.
Yay.
Our good friends, actually. They support us and make this podcast happen. If you like books, if you hate books,
even.
Go in there and you might have your mind changed.
Absolutely. A little revolution in your own lifetime.
They are in Auckland on Ponsonby Road, or you can check them out at www.womensbookshop.co.nz. We're actually giving away this month for school holidays and, you know, completely by coincidence, Gloria's Voice, the story of Gloria Steinem, which is a beautiful looking children's book. Which you could win on our Facebook page.
Come on now.
I know. Look at it.
It's
that'll
my
be a good
granddaughter's
one.
Birthday.
Well, you could. You,
well, you can't enter.
Oh, why not? I can't understand it.
But we'll post it up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ontheragpod, where you can also have a chat to us and everyone else in our lovely community. We've also got a web series.
We do.
It's important, eh?
We do. So you can see our faces as well as hear our voices. That's quite exciting. Well, yeah. No, it is.
I wonder about that, eh? It was always like, I remember when I was young, like seeing like JJ and Flinny and stuff like that for the first time.
Yes.
And going, oh, they don't really look like what I thought they.
Because you imagine
like
a thing. Apparently I sound tall. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what
How
people
do
tell
you
me.
Sound tall?
I don't know. I don't. Just like this, I think. Yeah. But I'm not, so yeah. Spoiler alert.
I'm sure people get surprised that I'm a brown lady.
Do you? Why?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that maybe my voice suggests I'm not.
Blonde?
And that people see me and go, oh, you're one of them.
Let's check out the web series.
I think it's from people when I was a kid telling me in very coded language that, oh, you're very articulate.
Oh, I see.
Unspoken for a Māori.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Which makes me think people might still
think that way. For sure.
It's hard to tell.
I don't like them.
I don't know what era we live in
I don't want
now.
To be their
difficult.
Friends.
It's difficult.
Sorts them out
we
quite
quickly. We could call Gloria and ask her again. Gloria. I do have her secretary's number. I just want to say that.
Get her on the phone.
The number she rang from was blocked. I did take note. All good. Didn't
want to know.
Her
phone number's not 0000 plus.
She knows what we like. She knows that we give her a call.
Coming up on this podcast, young women saving the world, men getting mad about it, and maybe gender equality is fixed because we have Ms. Monopoly.
Great.
Amazing. Hey.
This may be our last podcast, in which case.
I know.
Yeah.
It is sad, but
we're done.
We could pivot, you know, to something else. Completely different podcast.
Yeah, not enough sport.
Sport podcast.
Sport podcast.
Not enough of those around.
Hell no.
The World Cup. That's actually all I can say. Our next episode of our web series is going to be about sex positivity. It should be out in the very near future. Whenever you're listening to this, check out the Spinoff's YouTube channel, or all our social media should be up there. It was a journey, the old sex positivity episode.
You've had a good time with some dildos. Can I say that? I think I can.
I don't think that's legal.
It's the next in the series of my favourite genre, which is things that make Alex uncomfortable.
They had a sex party for one.
Waxed all her pubes off. Yep. And now we've surrounded her with sex toys.
Some of them. The print on them.
The print?
Look like Hellboy. The black and red splattered giant dildo. I was like, I mean, but I don't want a kink shame.
Yeah.
No.
If you're into Hellboy, you're into Hellboy.
Totally. Might be a little bit. Yeah.
Did they have one of those things that put weird eggs inside of you that you can then
guard
you? Oh, and get remote control.
Oh, no. But I know the ones you're talking about. Yeah, they have the artificial, so you can lay.
So you can lay eggs.
Lay eggs.
What?
What? It's a thing.
Okay. Everyone's doing it, Michelle.
Apparently, not me.
It did make me laugh. Alex pointed out that the episode of Bang that we guested on with the lovely Melody Thomas on her RNZ podcast about the said subject was probably the worst thing we've ever done. Mm. So we decided to make another episode about it.
And add another dimension so you can really see our pain.
I blush every time I think about that. But
it's scary because we can't remember what we really said in the studio. Amber, our producer, keeps bringing up, you know, like, oh, when you talked about this, and we're like, what?
Yeah,
what?
No, we all men in blacked ourselves after that.
We did. And one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing in it is Kuta Forrester giving us how to have a one-night stand guide.
Yep.
So she's amazing.
There was a lot of silent cry laughing while she was filming that from us behind the camera.
Funniest
very,
woman
very
around.
Very, funny.
All right, should we move on to the news?
You do it.
Yeah. Shall we?
Shall we?
A lot of angry men.
There's a lot of angry men.
Oh.
We've got...
doesn't happen very often, does it?
And it's unusual. Coming from surprising voices. Mike Hosking?
Oh, really?
Really?
Duncan Garner?
Duncan!
Him?
Jeremy Clarkson?
Oh, my goodness. Martin Van Beinen? Never.
Never. He loves everything. So this has all been in the past week in response to the giant climate strikes that took place around the world and Greta Thunberg addressing the UN. It made a lot of prominent media men very challenged and upset.
They
and
got a bit hysterical.
That's why,
emotional and had tantrums. I think Jeremy Clarkson summed it all up for everybody, for all of those men, when he just wrote in his column, "Be a good girl, shut up." That encapsulates really the
really
response
does.
Of all of them. So the thing that blows me away about it is that on the one hand, those men would accuse young people of being shallow, into self-gratification, egocentric,
narcissistic,
insular, all of those things. And yet when they do something like, I don't know, sail halfway around the world to make a speech about something they know a lot about, that's naughty.
Mike was impressed that she sailed, though. He did give her big ups for that. He loves a good boat.
Yeah. Sure, he appreciates the skill. But there was a lot of sort of quite bad reasoning, I thought, as well, involved in a lot of this commentary. Like the kind of reasoning that, say, a first-year law student could pick apart very easily in a court of law. Duncan Garner's been that, you know, if it was that big a problem, the adults would have sorted it out.
Yeah, I think that's the point.
But I was like, is that not the point?
Yes,
that adults have created this problem for 200-odd years and we've all gone, this is fine.
Yeah.
And now we've gotten to the point where we're seeing the effects of everyone ignoring the trash fire.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, literally, because our grandparents and some of our parents' generation, we would burn our rubbish. That was a normal everyday activity.
Yes.
I still remember having to take the rubbish down to the bottom of
to the incinerator.
The lawn and put it in the incinerator and burn that.
Yeah.
So that means people sort of well into their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 20 years ago, thought that that was a very normal thing to do. And your average 10-year-old now knows that that's not.
Mm.
So it's like, why would you assume that adults now are more informed than children now on this subject when
it
the paradigm has changed completely?
Yeah. And, yeah, so many terrible arguments. Mun van Beinen go, I don't want to diminish Thunberg's achievement and self-possession. Yeah, you do. That's exactly what you want. And talked about, you know, amazing for someone of her age to deliver a speech like that. But, of course, she didn't get there on her own. You don't want to listen to her because she's got expertise and she had support.
Yeah. Mm,
that's what I find interesting, eh? Was conspiring around it, like, oh, yes. she's a puppet. And I'm like, if she's a puppet, good. Mm. Well, I don't care. Why did I get shit done? Whatever. Yeah. I don't think she is.
No, I don't think she is either.
The puppet masters, in this case, are the world's leading climate scientists.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole argument out there, isn't there? You don't have to dig very deep to see that there are people suggesting that it is, what do they call them, green, like monsters, green. We call really rich people, moguls, the green moguls
who want so much money.
What? I don't know what I'm talking about. It just, I don't know. Somebody summed it up by saying when children talk like adults, adults respond by talking like children. And that's what they sounded like, a bunch of whining little boys.
Yeah. For real.
I'll listen to teens on climate change when they do the dishes.
Oh.
I thought that is a headline from The Onion. It is. It is.
Yeah. No one can tell the difference between an Onion headline and a real headline anymore.
Yeah.
I did see someone ask the question, like, would this be different if Greta, obviously as well, there's many other young women who have spoken up. She has become, you know, the...
She's captured the imagination.
She has. Yeah. So we're sort of talking about her as the centre of the conversation, aware that that's not necessarily the case. But if she had been a young man who had, you know, broken down or cried at the UN, would this be different?
Yes. Mm. Shown some sensitivity. What a remarkable young man with a great future.
Yeah. I wonder, though. Yeah. I mean, the idea that young men shouldn't cry is probably pervasive enough that... they might have been criticised.
Men tend to get medals for weeping because, you know.
True, or just showing any emotion.
Yeah, because it's not what's expected. So it's novel and fresh. Whereas women, it's just us reverting to type, apparently, because we're very weepy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing I think a lot of these hysterical men have missed is the whole point of climate strikes and climate action is it's actually an appeal to governments and industries and world leaders.
Mm.
So a lot of people are sort of willfully misunderstanding it as we're being lectured about our own individual choices, and if you drive a car, you can't possibly have participated in the climate strike because that makes you a hypocrite.
Yeah.
It's like, well, actually, no, we want people with more power than us to listen to the people and make changes on a global scale because me not using plastic bags isn't actually going to do much. I'm still going to try my best, but I need to be matched in my efforts by my government, my local government, the industries I choose to buy from.
And governments committing to a very clear list of demands from climate change activists about carbon emissions and fossil fuels.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they've just gone... Like, there's a list of
But I like my car and driving it fast.
Yeah, good on you.
But I did
if the industry made an electric car cheaper for you to buy?
That was affordable.
And
your local councils produce places where you could charge them.
Exactly. There was an amazing comment in a similar vein that I received on the bottom of a story that I wrote. I interviewed Sophie Hanford, who was the young woman, she's 18, who brought the climate strike to New Zealand. She started it here. And this lovely gentleman and a scholar commented below saying, until both women stop participating in this global system of capitalism and its insatiable appetite for economic growth that gives them cheap lipstick, nice cars and pretty clothes, they are just signalling they're full of shit. Talk is wind. Real action requires real sacrifice.
Wow. How is the cheap lipstick and your pretty clothes?
Pretty clothes?
Yeah, so no one's allowed to express an opinion until they step outside of the capitalist system.
And he wrote that on Facebook.
You know, if you do.
Under his real name, Shane H. Duncan, by the way.
But it's just like the logic falls apart when I'm like, you wrote this on the most evil capitalist thing that exists. You know, like, it's,
oh, and you know that if you had expressed your distaste of capitalism, you just would be a filthy communist. So I don't know how you're going to win this.
You can't win.
Well, at least you have pretty clothes and cheap lipstick on when you do.
And all my nice cars. You know, I'm always going on about them. They're all parked outside. Love it. But yeah, it's not really going anywhere, is it? This whole climate thing. I think we've figured out.
Yeah.
No.
I felt quite hopeful over the last week. I have.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go through massive periods of anxiety, but I've chosen to not feel that way.
I think one of the things that hasn't been expressed tremendously well by mainstream media is that the demonstrations in New Zealand on Friday were the biggest protests ever in the history of this country, I believe. Mm. That the numbers are huge. Mm. And I think that gave me a sense of comfort and confidence that this is public opinion and this is the way that we're going to start moving forward. Yeah. And it's one of those situations. Sometimes governments lead and public opinion catches up, and sometimes government catches up with public opinion, and I think this is one of the latter. Mm. Yeah.
There's that someone did a funny tweet of Justin Trudeau in the climate strike.
Oh my God. Like,
why are you protesting? You are the government. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You are actually in charge. You are protesting yourself right now. That is madness.
It is quite funny.
It's a real galaxy brain.
It is galaxy brain. You were there, eh? You were, well, not with Justin Trudeau, but in a way.
Yep, I was at the climate march with a handful of spin-off staff. We made signs.
Buy a new cardboard. Oh. Using paint, bloody waste, probably threw them on the ground. And
yeah, someone commented that, what are we going to do with all of those signs? Like, as if people had bought brand new cardboard to paint signs on. And we're creating all that waste. It's like, it's recycled cardboard. What is wrong with you? In what universe do people buy new cardboard to make a sign with?
Yeah, nobody's ever done that.
But yeah, it was amazing. And it was really cool. When we got there, there were so many people. We couldn't really get close enough to the speakers to hear what they were saying. But the reaction to them was incredible. And they were all young. They were all young people. I don't think any adults spoke. I could be wrong. Opania? Oh, yeah. She's only in her mid-20s. And
so young from where I'm sitting.
I know, exactly. And I thought that was really impressive, both the fact that it was young people leading and the incredible reaction to it. People were so riled up's not quite right, because it wasn't an angry atmosphere. Mm. It was just really high energy. A lot of young people who really give a shit. Mm. And it was so nice to just sort of be swept along in there. And lots of older people as well, because the whole point of that march was young people asking older generations to join them.
Yes.
And that was very visible, which I thought was really cool.
And that is one thing, now that I've said that mainstream media did a bad job of letting us know what a significant protest that was. They were very good at interviewing, probably because that's what they do, middle-aged people saying, I'm here because I'm ashamed and I'm worried and I want to support, and I'm full of admiration and I want to support these young people. So So that message came across really well.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Problem solved, really.
Should be all right.
Should be fine.
Cool tips. What have we been doing this month that's made our lives a little bit easier?
Okay, well, I've made going to the supermarket more fun for myself. I have got pat myself on the back, really good at taking my supermarket bags and carrying my keep cup and doing those things. But what I'm really enjoying about going to the supermarket is just taking 5 minutes when I arrive at the supermarket to watch people, and when I say people, I mean men, get out of their cars without their bags and walk into the supermarket. And then as I'm going into watching men come out without bags but arms laden with goods. And I'm just, I know we talked about this before, but I'm just, it just still fucking good. Makes my day. It's adorable. It's like I see them walking in going, you have forgotten your bag, and or you just won't bring yourself to carry one. So I saw an ad somewhere for a Swan Dry supermarket bag, which might make me feel a bit happier about
it. Dad bag.
But I'm just enjoying that. And not using, trying not to use Glad Wrap as much as I can, using the waxy thingies. And I've bought a couple of those $3 supermarket, you know, carry bags that I, so every bag that I've got has got a little supermarket bag stuffed into the corner of it so I can never get caught short.
Wow.
That's all. So they're tiny, tiny things, but they make me feel better.
It's really good. I don't really have any, like, this is going to sound, I'm going to sound basic here. I've been really loving getting the train. From like, I've recently moved, so the train is actually the easiest thing to get, but it reminded me just how much I like, walking's good. I did get into the habit of driving a very short distance to work and feeling quite sick about it recently. But I love staring at people on the train.
Yes.
It is amazing. Yeah. Like, I like the ones where you have to face each other, the big long, where you're sitting like, what's that? Like horizontal.
So
facing
perpendicular?
Each other.
Facing
perpendicular.
Each other.
Rhombus, I think, as well. Somewhere in there. Rhombus.
Parallelogram. I don't know.
And just staring at people. Yeah. I love it.
I saw a man that looked exactly like Larry David on the train the other day, and it made my day.
Wow. How do you know it wasn't him?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's got to be somewhere.
But I've been trying to actually use it also, not just for work, but like going out places and stuff and trying to encourage it. But I haven't gotten very well. It's just the timetables are not
great. The timetables are terrible.
Timetables are not great on a Saturday or a Sunday.
And I love catching the boat from where I am into the city, but you always have to Uber home because the boats have stopped. Mm. And at weekends, which is when you want to go, they go like once an hour and then later on once every 2 hours, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic way to travel. It feels like you go on holiday.
Totally.
Somebody else is driving me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you also feel like a part of something, I feel like, in a way that you don't if you're even walking. Because also you walk and no one else is on the bloody footpath to stare at.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing to stare at.
Yeah.
So you stare at your phone. But anyway, I've been staring
at people. Do they know you're
staring?
Like, do you stare at them till they see you stare?
It's eyeball.
I kind of just do like an oscillating fan type thing.
Oh, that's good. I'm seeing
so
what
I
you're
can
doing.
Clock everybody.
Yeah.
But everyone's buried in their phones, you know?
Oh, people.
No, I love it.
These days.
Reading the spin-off, hopefully.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not really a tip.
My tips aren't climate related.
Get out!
I'm sorry, I didn't know I needed to prepare one of those. I have both a serious tip and a very not serious tip.
Great.
My serious tip, not really a tip, kind of a tip. I went to Bali earlier
in
the month.
Commit to it.
I went to Bali earlier in the month, had a very good time. Bali, of course, is an island in Indonesia. I got home and discovered that the Indonesian government had executed a bunch of protesters in West Papua, which is an island nation that they are currently colonizing. And I realized that I had given that government a whole bunch of my money.
Yeah.
My tip is don't go to Bali. And also maybe read a bit about what's happening in West Papua, because it is horrible and tragic and New Zealanders should be up in arms on their behalf. Second tip, it's pretty much the same. It's to do with beauty routines. So I invented this new thing for myself. You know those face rollers, like for face massage, that are all the rage? There's an old, like, Hollywood tip, like a really old one, where you put, like, a spoon in the freezer and then you sort of press it under your eye bags and it makes your eye bags go away, apparently. I've combined the sheet mask and two frozen spoons where you just massage your face with the sheet mask on. So you're getting the frozen, like the cold therapy and massaging the stuff in the mask into your face. And honestly, I think I'm some kind of beauty guru genius
for
inventing
that.
Can
you please video this and put it up?
All right, I will.
Please, I want to see that. Just the idea of watching you massage your face with two frozen spoons is...
in a sheet mask.
That would be more fun for me than watching a man walk out of a supermarket with more than 12 items.
Okay. I'll do it.
I want you
and
to.
And yes, I'm shallow and superficial, but I love it. I love a face mask. Can't help it.
You're shallow and superficial and also deep and thoughtful. So it's a very yin-yang scenario.
Yep, so frozen spoons and boycott barley.
Yep.
As my tips for
the month. Shut it down. We're done. We're finished with this podcast.
I'm so sorry.
No, on the topic of activism, though, if you haven't voted yet, you should vote.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hate to get all gone by lunchtime on your ass. But as someone pointed out in a Kōrero Wahine, which is the little private kind of on the rag spin-off conversation group, voting is a feminist act.
Yes.
Yeah, and you should read up on the people that are standing in your area. There's a great tool available via the spin-off called Policy, www.policylocal.thespinoff.co.nz, where you can put in your area and it will tell you everyone who's running and what their stances are on all the different policies. Some of them haven't filled it out, you know. Mm. You could let that be your guide,
which means they don't care enough.
And it's really fun. I love making snap judgments on people based on two paragraphs. That makes me very happy. I feel like I get a real feel of who people are. And I've also, as well as doing that, I have, so I know a couple of people, or more than that, who are standing for various boards and community groups and so forth. And they're people that I like and trust and respect. And so I've asked them for their hot tips on other people to support. So there's that kind of networking thing going on. I go to my friend Julie Ferry and say, who else do you think you would like me to support? And I find that really helpful because if they've got the same values as you, then they're likely to direct you to people with the same values.
Mm. Hi, everyone. Just a little content warning that we are going to start talking about the Labour story that came out at the start of the month involving quite serious allegations of sexual assault.
So if that's not something you feel like listening to just now, fast forward a few minutes and we'll do some mansplaining reports.
I forgot this was even this month. We're pivoting now to talk about the big story that came out at the start of the month, which I was quite close to. Mm. The allegations around a Labour staffer and the subsequent fallout around her speaking up. Mm. First through the spin-off. The allegations had first kind of been alluded to by News Hub about a month before, so there was kind of murmurings that something was going on. But through us, she kind of told us the very violent, serious attack that happened to her and what appeared to be the absolute mishandling of it. Absolutely. In the aftermath when it was raised with the right people. Now, I've kind of lost a bit of perspective on this, I'll admit. Working on the story and then seeing the way that it kind of spun out quite quickly into having never done anything political before and was made a point of staying away from that stuff. I was sort of just wrote it as a story of, you know,
about a woman.
And everything else, it was quite interesting to see the way that it became a different story pretty fast. Which I don't know, it was a bit disappointing, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it must feel that way for you. Your story put the survivor at the centre.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant, and thank you for the story. And she very quickly was not at the centre of
absolutely.
The rest of the coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It once again showed to me, so it showed me that, but it also showed me the what appears to be the mishandling of it by the party hierarchy shows me again the disconnect that we have that I've talked about before, that we understand that sexual harassment and assault is incredibly commonly experienced by women, but we don't seem to be able to grasp the idea that there are perpetrators. Mm-hmm. So we all know victims and survivors. We all know perpetrators, but we don't want to acknowledge that they exist mm-hmm. because they're colleagues, friends, sons of friends, brothers of we find this really, this is the next step that we're unable to take.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Fear. That was, yeah, an incredible story, Alex. Mm. I was wondering, actually, if you could talk more about how it felt to sort of be producing a story that ended up actually changing the news cycle for a good week or so. Was that, like, something you wrote, because it was victim-centred, became a lot more real than just allusions to sexual harassment that had been made by other media outlets. You gave her a voice and a personality, and that's what actually brought people to the realization that this was potentially real, and that changed the entire news cycle. Was that buzzy?
I mean, it was, but it was buzzy.
Yeah,
it was buzzy, and I was in a lot of contact with her. Sort of, you know, she was feeling very overwhelmed, but also, you know, feeling like the main thing was that she just felt like she hadn't been listened to.
Yeah,
the whole time through every point of the process, and to suddenly have the whole country listening in some form or another, I think was incredibly overwhelming. But at the same time, it was also dispiriting when you started getting, you know, Nigel Haworth swinging out, basically saying, this didn't happen.
Yeah.
We were never made
when
aware of these allegations.
When you yourself have seen documents that basically prove that he was sent the information that he claims to have not been sent.
Yeah, well, it gets a little tricky.
Yeah.
She maintains that she told Haworth on multiple occasions, the first being their first ever meeting about this individual. I think the more damning thing was the Simon Mitchell, who kind of led the panel. We had an email. We have several emails actually to him with attachments that detail her testimony, including the word sexual assault and a description of what sounds a lot like a sexual assault. He also says that he had a computer expert examine his emails, and he maintains he didn't get the attachments. Now, that's up in the, you know, that's what he says, that's what she says, that's kind of all it comes down to. But talking to her the whole time, she was just like, that does hurt me to feel like I've finally been listened to, but at the same time, there's now all these men just shooting it down again. But I do feel like the actions of the Prime Minister and that Nigel Haworth resigned and the general public mood felt like progress to me. It did.
So she was happy with the Prime Minister's response?
What she wanted above all else was a culture overhaul and for them to listen to survivors and provide support and, you know, make contact with the relevant networks, whether it was sexual abuse prevention or the people that were adjacent and had tried to help in the past. She was calling for more than just tokenistic, like people falling on their sword, because that doesn't actually change
anything. It doesn't change the system.
It doesn't change
anything.
People are
so keen to keep making it into like a game of politics.
Yes. Yes.
It's a survivor asking for to be listened to.
Yeah. And I get why you would want retribution. Not that she did, the victim, the person at the centre of this. But I get why people, you know, call for resignations. But that's not actually going to change anything. And that's not really the thing we're all looking for.
Yeah.
We're looking for somebody to set. I mean, if the Labour Party doesn't have these processes, it's a pretty good indication that very few organisations do have a process. And it seems such a long time now since Me Too.
Mm.
Why isn't this sorted?
That's the other big damning thing that I think was kind of missing from the conversation, that she couldn't feel like she could go to the police, you know?
Yeah.
That's the other big thing that's always at the centre of these stories that people now just accept as like, oh, yeah. It's like, that's... We understand why that is, of course, that, you know, she's aware. She's like, I had friends who have tried to go through it, had a terrible time.
Yeah.
I know the stats. I know how hard it is to get justice, blah, blah, blah.
We've all been watching Unbelievable.
Exactly. So we all understand that. But it's weird that we're not addressing that, you know, as well. There's only one. People say, you know, why didn't you go to the police? Why didn't you do the right thing? That she didn't feel like that was the right thing, and that's a problem.
Yeah. It's almost like the police need to set up a complimentary service headed by Louise Nicholas, that is dedicated to treating women or anybody with a complaint of sexual assault with respect. And it's like the whole police system can't handle it. They need something built alongside.
It's really interesting, actually. This is kind of a tangent, but I had to sit through a police questioning thing recently. Someone I know experienced a physical assault, and I was just sitting there kind of watching the questions he was asking, and I was like, this statement's going to come out completely different. It was real interesting having watched Unbelievable and written this story and having all these people talking about processes and notes and blah, blah, blah. And then when the person he had been interviewing read the statement back, it was completely different.
Wow.
There were like really key things that were completely wrong. And I was like, this is just one 10-minute interview on a Friday afternoon of however many you do a week.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I never understand why those first interviews aren't video recorded and a transcript made of the audio from the video. So you've got facial expression for context and depth, and you've got verbatim recording. Why are you relying on an exhausted police officer who doesn't know the person? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like it would be such a straight. I'm watching Unbelievable, I was screaming from the couch. You can't ask her again. Why didn't you video it the first time? For that first fresh account, which you might add to later when more detail comes, but just capture it. We're so good at capturing everything in this country.
Totally.
In this world.
Yeah.
Why don't
it's
we
not
use
it? Like the video technology isn't available, it's there on your phone.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, it was weird. It was bizarrely primitive for like what I was expecting. Mm. It was like they were even like, "Oh, we've shut down most of the computers." You know, like you have to do it in the back of the reception. It was just like, it was really bizarre. And I again, that might just be a one-off. It might be great otherwise, but it was just interesting timing that I was kind of had all these things in my head as I sat down, and I was like, "This isn't good enough."
Yeah,
you know, this isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Anyway. What's next on the dock?
Oh, we're down a rabbit hole. Should we do some chipper?
Something chipper? Oh, yeah. I found some funny mansplain moments, actually, to lighten the mood. this was just a funny tweet. Love a funny tweet. Michelle Guido tweeted, oh, no, hold on. It's been a year since the last time I announced this, so I think it's time for my yearly update. PSA, we do not pee out of our vagina. Some man replied. Well, you probably don't do it out of your asses, though you do talk out of there, lol. And that leaves the vagina, unless there is a third hole somewhere for the pee to come out of.
Yes, there is.
Say it with us. Urethra.
Urethra. Willis G. Creed, whatever your name is.
Some mysterious third hole.
But I just like it. I like that you talk out of your ass.
Yeah.
I like that leaves the vagina as like he's been thinking about it and doing equations all night.
I've got this.
The
and
only
this.
Thing left.
You take away this.
I haven't looked at that.
Unless there's a third hole somewhere.
Does that mean
suggest he's never
boys pee out of their vaginas too?
No, they've got a urethra.
Oh, same.
Do they pee out of their asses too? Like a cloaca.
I like the temp. I really like the tampon man who'd calculated how many mils of blood comes out of a woman when she menstruates and how much fluid a tampon is supposed to be able to hold, and decided that 7 tampons would see you through a period.
7!
And you'd have 9 periods a year. Maths not being his strong suit.
Period holidays.
And I think that the idea that must have motivated him, well, apart from, you know, bloody women whining about the cost, is he must have imagined that a vagina is made of something that is normally completely dry like a, I don't know, a cardboard tube inside a toilet roll. And then once a month or nine times a year, blood dripped into the otherwise very dry place. And it did it quite quickly.
Like a valve that turns on.
Like a little tap. Yeah. And so you just pop one in, soak up that teaspoon worth, drop it out. Yeah, so no other bodily fluids. And also you can wear a tampon for 7 tampons. Maybe you're menstruating for 5-8 days. So you could put a tampon in the morning and leave it there for 24 hours.
I do like the 9 months idea. I like that maybe opt out for 3 months a year, like a KiwiSaver holiday.
Sounds great. Yeah. You can get mortgage holidays from the bank. Get a menstrual holiday. That sounds great.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
We haven't had a good mansplain for a while.
It's adorable that men sit around thinking that they have suddenly thought of a solution for something that they have never experienced, that we experience constantly.
Yeah.
It's a very special level of confidence.
It is.
It's actually time for me to check in with that man who made that lipstick to glue your...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've still got his Skype details. I want to see if it's taken off. Yeah. The lipstick to seal off the lips of your vagina.
To seal your labia together. Yeah. Your labia. Holds all the blood in.
Mm. And then you wee it out open somehow.
Yes. And then urine... breaks the seal and then lets it all out. And then you glue it all up again.
And then you glue your labia
lipstick
together.
For your lips.
It's like actually turning your labia, your vulva, into like a purse. You could pop other things in there too. You could put a spare set of keys and then glue it shut. That'd be good. I love it.
But yeah, it's a real joy. It's a great genre. It's one of my favourite genres.
Yeah.
Well-meaning man who tries to fix periods forever. We've had some toy news.
Great.
Miss Monopoly is here.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a different kind of toy.
There's a lot of that as well.
I was so disappointed with Ms. Monopoly because initially I thought, yay, a game where women earn more than men. But it's fundamentally flawed, isn't it? Because it's suggesting that... So what happens is that women start the game with more money than men do.
Mm.
And they get more money as they go past go. Mm. It's like we could fix pay equity by just dropping some money into women's bank accounts when in fact it's not about that.
It's not about that.
Yeah. Well, and also pretend money, so
yeah.
doesn't fix anything anyway.
Less exciting.
Yeah, I also think, like, I mean, I can't imagine bringing this out at Christmas and having fun conversations, you know?
No.
It's going to cause a lot of tension in extended families trying to explain why this is happening.
Yeah. I would like it if there was a game where men got fined for microaggressions. That would make me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mansplained.
Yes, your community chest thing is you think women can use 7 tampons a period 9 times a year. Pay her 12% of whatever you've got in front of you.
Yeah, there's definitely ways to fix it. It's also just that sort of weird, like, I guess the kind of lean-in type of feminism, which is talking about that being rich or really successful at the top of your industry, is of course important to the women in those industries, but isn't the be-all and end-all solution for all of feminism and all of women. Like the kind of hashtag girl boss thing, I think, has lost a bit of love recently.
So let's design the game. We'll work on it later, but just for a start, I think that men shouldn't be allowed to go past go without going with a woman. Like men shouldn't be allowed out on their own at night or any around the board. So they have to wait until a female player lands on the same square that they're on, and then they're allowed to go past go with her. Mm-hmm. But men aren't allowed out.
There's a
curfew.
Great.
Yeah. There could be whole streets they're not allowed to go on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not for you.
Lady streets. Yeah. And we should make this game.
Okay. That would be great. The real Miss Monopoly.
Yeah. Great.
Who do we contact?
Hasbro.
Hasbro.
Bro.
Clues in the name.
And there's also been some gender-neutral Barbies have been released also this month. So the toy world is doing stuff.
Catching up.
Definitely doing stuff. We can't deny it. Creatable world.
I quite like the boy style haircuts they've given the gender neutral Barbies. I'm like eyeing up a lot of these haircuts.
Yeah, yeah.
They would look good on me.
They're just very stylish individuals, eh? So those are called Creator World. What are they? Creatable World. You can be either both or none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
But provided you're still skinny and able-bodied.
Of course. That's important.
Sure. It's still the message that's coming through loud and clear because they have little stick-thin legs that go all the way up to...
Those legs.
It wasn't really a big change to the moulds that they were using initially, was it? And, like, there's still no genitalia whatsoever, so they can go into any bathroom they like.
Yep. And unfortunately, male, female, non-binary, there is still a fedora in the mix. So,
oh my God. Oh my God, there is.
Be careful. Stay vigilant.
Some good outfits, though.
There are some great outfits. Let's talk about Watch Club. I'm having flashbacks to when I asked Laura Stein about this. What have we been watching? What have we been watching this month?
Well, obviously, Unbelievable, which is incredible. Toni Collette and I can't remember the woman's name. She was in Nurse Jackie.
Merritt Weaver.
Yes, yes, amazing, amazing. Can I just say, anybody who gets through the first episode like I did and wants to just smash all the windows in the house and never watch anything ever again, push on through. Yeah, gets better.
It's a phenomenal. I watched that just like aghast and emotional, and it was also just like a very, very pacey.
Yeah,
is it?
If you like, kind of.
I think I will.
Oh, it's really, really good. It is hard going, like it is, and that doesn't go away after the first episode necessarily. But it does. What I loved about, especially Merritt Weaver, is just completely softening the idea of what a detective is, what we've come to expect from detective characters in these shows and also the world, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just a completely new vision of also what like a crime procedural looks like when there's two women. Oh, yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, did a total binge watch on it. Interestingly, a good thing to watch with a partner, maybe. Because his takeaway from it was how much things had changed for the better between 2008 and 2011. And my takeaway from it was that it's all quite fucked until you get women in charge.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's
nothing
to do with the era. Or
And they have to be the exact right type of woman who is not willing to let it go despite everyone trying to tell them to drop it. And, it seemed to me like a flash in the pan rather than like a... any kind of change at all.
Yeah, absolutely. It was specific to having some people who understand there in the room, like we were talking about before. Leonie, what about you?
I ended up watching Late Night on the plane. And you talked about that last episode that we did.
Yes.
And in fact, we've had like feedback from other people who also watched it on your recommendation. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool. Emma Thompson is so wicked.
Yeah.
And I'm not adding anything to the conversation by watching what you've watched and then agreeing with you.
I haven't been doing
a lot of watching of anything lately, and that is something that stuck out, and I just thought it was really great.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, have Mindy Kaling.
Isn't she great? She turned up in something else that I was watching the other day. Oh, it doesn't matter. There you go. Hello. Who are you? What's your name?
Hello. I don't know. Anything else? What about books? What about the old bookeroo?
I'm reading a crime novel at the moment just to give my brain a rest from thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about men doing a heist and they're terrible. And the women characters in it are just awful. They're just so shallow and like they fall in love with these men who are so unlovable. So I'm not recommending it. I'm not telling you what it is. Don't bother.
Love it.
Well, one upcoming Watch Club, which I'm very much looking forward to, is Hustlers, which is the new J-Lo film about a group of strippers who decide to get their revenge on the asshole like Wall Street dudes that frequent their establishment after the global financial crisis. And apparently it's amazing.
Mm.
And I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's
about
great.
It. Amazing. So, like, really ensemble cast.
Let's all watch it, our listeners included, and we'll talk about it
that's
in the
a
next
good idea.
Episode.
Next to a community watch.
It's got bloody Lizzo in it.
It's got Lizzo. It's got so Kiki Palmer. It's got a great cast.
Yes, please.
Read Club. It's an article that I wanted to recommend to everyone to read. It's called Cash/Consent. and it's on the N Plus One Mag website. It's written by a sex worker by the name of Lorelei Lee, and it's a very long piece, and it's a really, really thorough, in-depth look at the war on sex work in the US. Lots of really interesting first-person stories about her life, how she got into sex work. Really complicated sort of emotional journey, not very black and white, not sort of I was abused and this was the only way and you had to make money, or I was poor and this is the only way and you had to make money. There's a certain amount of emotional manipulation that went on in a relationship that led to that, but then the money she made ended up sort of saving her. So really complicated, but also focuses on some legislation that was introduced in the US in 2000, which really blurred the line between voluntary and involuntary sex work. Mm. So looks at the fact that there are feminists on both sides of that argument. Anyway, it's incredible. Mm. It's a long read, but I really, really recommend that you read it. We'll put the link on the Facebook page.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
a good one.
Good. Yes, please.
Really gets to the heart of what sex work is.
Amazing. Great. Mm. Great.
Oh, yeah. You got crime. Sorry. I was like,
yeah, I got no crime. Okay, I just, one other thing that I watched was Ocean's 8. And I know everybody else watched it 1,000 years ago, but that's where I saw Mindy Kaling.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's in it. And for a, you know, Sunday night, do not want to think, but don't want to be offended by bullshit, it's just adorable.
So good.
Yeah.
All those women doing heisty business, and they're great characters and funny as fuck.
Kate Blanchett's
yes.
clothes?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Her wardrobe in that film is ridiculous.
Yeah. Amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
No, it was really fun.
I've started reading a book, which I just stole from the spin-off bookshelf. I don't even know if it's out yet. I don't even know where it came from. It's called Tales from a Financial Hot Mess by Frances Cook, who is a super cool journalist / podcaster who did the podcast Cook the Books, which she explains in her book now that she basically just set up because she didn't know anything about money and she was in big trouble. So she pitched to her bosses. She's like, what if I did like a personal finance podcast, but for idiots? And like, so she was like, I basically like gamed it. So at work time, I was sorting out my own life, which she's really cool. I've never met Frances Cook, but she sounds really cool and funny. And the book is just all about everything that she's learned. And I'm trying to be a bit smarter about money. I haven't had the best track record with it. And I found it quite, I find it quite empowering to like read about. And it's written for dummies. You know, I've managed to understand most of it. And I'm like, oh my God, compounded interest, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just recommend it. It's
that's cool.
Written
that's
by a great. Cool New Zealand woman who's been doing cool things. And she's got a good sense of humour about it as well. And it isn't like, you know, it's not super serious. It's just kind of like being quite frank about, sometimes
like
you spend money you don't have. And
her podcast and a recent sort of workshop night that the Double Denim ladies put on about financial literacy in Auckland, a couple of my girlfriends went along to that. And then in our sort of group chat, have started to like really get the rest of us involved in what they learned, which I thought was really cool. And so we're all sort of learning about sharesies and like where to put your money
that's
and how
great.
A little bit of money towards a couple of things every week can go a long way towards your share portfolio or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really liked that sort of, you know, very us way of doing things, which was learning about something collectively and then taking that to your
sharing it
groups or your community and sharing it with them. Was I was just like, oh, this is how I like learning stuff.
Yeah. And money stuff is so, I don't know, the thing that keeps my anxiety under control is a savings account. That I genuinely, that's, you know, my dial can go really high if I don't have a savings account. And I know I'm lucky, privileged to be in a position where I can put money aside, but fuck, it makes a difference for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's what she talks about as well. She's like, so much of it is just like alleviating anxiety, having a plan, you know, all these things which I'm like, what? Plans, budgets, Excel, what? But yeah, I highly recommend that if you are someone like me who has always been scared and almost like, I don't know what the word is, like, I was like, money's not for me, you know? I'm like, it's ridiculous to say that. Like,
you
have to think about your money. Like, you can't be above money. Anyway, so yeah, that was Tales from a Financial Hot Mess by Frances Cook.
What about Kia ora Queenie of the month?
It's got to be Greta. And so Greta as a catalyst, lightning rod, the face of the voice currently, won't always be. All those young people who make me feel like, oh, I'm really tired, and thank you for having the energy. This is great. And I'll catch my breath and get right on in behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to say mine is Sophie Hanford, who I interviewed, because she just left me like, I felt a combination of feeling really sick and really sad and really guilty, but also like more hopeful than I've ever been. So for someone to elicit that kind of feeling in a person is quite unique. She just was so incredibly articulate, so smart, so dedicated. Says just really frankly, you know, she's given up her OE. She's 18, and this is all that she's doing, is just campaigning for the environment. And she talked to me, like, quite frankly as well about, you know, she said, I don't have time to feel scared. You know, that's how she kind of, she started it. But then the more we talked about it, she did say, you know, there are times where I talk to other young organisers of the climate strike who go to bed shaking and crying because they're so stressed and they feel so guilty and they can't even take an hour out to watch something on Netflix without feeling guilty that they're not doing something for the climate. And it just, like, it just really shocked me and also just made me think everyone else needs a big fucking kick up the ass, because these kids can't carry this on their own.
They can't.
Yeah.
In keeping with the same theme, my Kia ora Queenie is one of the young people that spoke at the New York climate strike. She is an Indigenous Brazilian woman. She's 19, who spoke very passionately about what was happening in the Amazon. And similarly, this is her whole life now, because obviously what's happening there is tragic, and it's a very immediate emergency for all of those Indigenous groups living there. And I don't know how to pronounce her surname, but her name is Artemisa Zakriaba. I may have got that wrong.
Sounds beautiful.
Artemisa. And she's just very cool and really, really repped for her community in a way that is just, I was blown away by how brave she was.
But has she done the dishes?
be a good girl.
Shush now, girl. Shush.
Kia ora Queenie. And that's the end of our podcast for September. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you both for being here on this magical
it's
journey.
It's been a really special day.
It has been a really special day. Thank you for listening. Thank you again to the Women's Bookshop. Without them, we don't exist. So please go and support them. Yes. Support your local businesses. Things run by women. We love Carol. Go give Carol.
We love them. Thank you, Alice, for recording.
Thank you, Alice.
Your unusual, incredible self, including showing us what a rhombus actually looks like.
Yeah, with the fingers. That was amazing. All right, we will see you next month. Bye.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.